We usually read from your letters on Tuesdays, but there was that little inauguration thing yesterday. So this week it's Wednesday and time to read from your emails and web comments. And let's stay with that inaugural theme for a moment. We know many of you tuned in to listen live yesterday. Gail Baird emailed from Franklin, Tennessee. As I followed the inaugural events, I also prepared to file for unemployment benefits for the first time in my life. Part of President Obama's enormous responsibility is to help us maintain optimism and to find the good stuff that's still going on. We got this note from Major Nina D'Amato in San Francisco. As a Marine, I sometimes get my health checkups at the local VA hospital. During the inauguration, the VA clinic and all its patients were at a standstill, staring at the televisions that beamed our new commander-in-chief to a group who have seen presidents as far back as Roosevelt. I thought about how the practitioners of the wars he spoke about were standing around me, all different colors and creeds who had at one point or another in their life come under our flag to do what most people wouldn't choose to do. I couldn't have been more proud to stand among these humble giants. Last Thursday, we took up the controversial topic of abortion, specifically the future of the pro-life movement. Several of you were unhappy that the three guests we talked to were all male. Why are men talking about women's bodies anyway? That is something very disingenuous about having men prescribe ethical choices. Men don't really understand the issues of rape, and they're not qualified to pass judgment on whether a woman should be forced to carry a product of rape or incest. That one of several letters we received on the topic from Laura in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. And a week ago on Monday, during the discussion of the legacy of the Bush administration, one of our guests suggested that President Herbert Hoover coined the phrase, gentlemen don't read each other's mail. Robert Albee emailed us from Maryland to correct the record. The statement is properly credited to Hoover's Secretary of State, Henry L. Stimson, who in 1929 subsequently shut down the State Department's crypt analytic office, MI8, an action he later reversed. And another correction, in remembering actor Patrick McGoohan last week, I said he was British-born, actually born in New York, and I apologize for the error. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, David Gura, Kareem Estefan, Dahlia Martinez, and Barry Hardiman. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Beth Novi produces our web content. Our intern is Audrey Meshulam. Gwen Uden directs the program. Our associate producer is Sarah Handel. Jude Reynolds is our technical director, and he gets engineering help from Kevin Waite, Melissa Marquis, Kim Jones, and Jerry Tennant. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our supervising senior producer is Carlene Watson. The executive producer is Sue Goodwin. Richard L. Harris is NPR's director of afternoon programming. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.